The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com. I need to touch it.
Weird Medicine contains mature content and may be offensive to some listeners.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo, yo, yo.
Take a scalpel.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
To the vertebrae.
Yo, yo, yo.
I need some touching.
Yo.
From the If You're Not Hereafter What I'm Hereafter, You'll Be Hereafter I'm Gone capital of the world, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, P.A. John. Hello, John. Oh, shit. It would help if I turn... Boy, this is rocky. Our first show for the Riotcast Network.
Hello, Steve.
And I'm already effing it up. So. And we also have in the studio, G-Back, the lovely and talented.
Good evening, boys.
And Addictomy Todd, the master barber with multiple penis tattoos on his arm.
How you doing, bro?
And in the studio audience, we have Todd's lovely wife, Ashley. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
She's actually running the chat room. And but if you're listening to this on Riotcast, it's pre-recorded, so we'll give out the numbers to call if you have a medical question, all that kind of stuff. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or on the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you just can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347. No, I knew you were going to do that.
Dang,
it's not. It's Poohead.
What?
Okay, here's the thing. Okay,
why do you have turn the music off. Up there?
I'm going to tell you why. When we're recording this live, and by the way, you need to be watching for the Skype calls to come through.
I'm watching.
When we're recording it live, we will take calls on 423-343-8884. Okay, this is confusing. So what I planned on doing was just leaving that up for people who come to our Ustream channel to see. But if you want to leave a voicemail so that we'll answer it on the show, the number is 347-766-4323. That's local to Manhattan. It's 347-POOHEAD. That makes it easy to remember. You know, I'm a medical professional, a grown man, and I chose Poohhead to be our number. So, so if you're listening to us live, give us a call at the other number, the 423-DIE-TUTI. But if you're listening to us pre-recorded and you want to leave a voicemail, call us on the 347-766-4323 number. I know it's confusing. We'll work it out. The thing I would like to do with this is if you call with your cell phone, pull over so that we don't get a lot of road noise. Try to get the audio as good as you can. But if you call with your cell phone, it really helps because I will text you back. Until we get to the point where I'm just completely inundated with phone calls, I try to text back everybody. I'm behind by about 200 phone calls right now, so I'm working on it. I'm trying to work through them.
We're not inundated yet?
Yeah. Well, what I can do now, what happened was when we went on vacation over Christmas, we didn't record for like 6 weeks, and that's when I got way, way, way behind. So what I'm doing now is those people, I kind of said, oh, well, fuck you. We're not going to answer your calls.
But you lose.
And they're probably dead by now anyway.
What's funny is I do try to work through those old calls, and every once in a while I'll text somebody an answer to their question. They'll say, wait a minute, who is this? And I'll say, it's Dr. Steve, you texted me. And they said, well, dude, it was like 4 months ago. So, but I'm trying, I promise. So anyway, there you go. If you want to check out our podcast, go to riotcast.com or go to our website at weirdmedicine.com for medical news and stuff you can buy, or go to cafepress.com/weirdmedicine for stupid merchandise. We're working on transitioning our merchandise away from Cafe Press into another site, so stay tuned for that. Really, the only thing we're going to have is the only thing that ever sells, which is our Bristol Stool Scale mug, which is basically a mug with all of our names on it and then pictures of fecal matter that you can grade depending on their consistency. So while you're drinking your morning Joe and sitting on the pot, you can grade your stools and keep a diary. Do whatever you want to with the data. I don't care. But it can be most fascinating pastime. Most importantly, though, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, pharmacist, master barber, or guy that sells you used car parts. One of the things that I thought we would do, since this is our first show for the new network, and anybody who happens to be listening from Twitter, I guess I just realize that we're not supposed to be talking about that we're doing this for Riotcast. Oh, well, it's too late. So I'm kind of blowing it, but I figure there's probably 40 people who actually are listening right now live because I just tweeted it out on my Twitter and didn't. This isn't a scheduled show, so I think we're okay. But what I thought we would do is play a little bit of the introduction to Weird Medicine that we first made for SiriusXM when we made the transition from XM Radio to SiriusXM Radio. We had new bosses, and we had to basically repitch our show to them. Mm-hmm. And I have that somewhere here.
Wait.
What? What? Yeah, yeah, what? What, dude?
You mean this isn't going to be on TMZ or Entertainment Tonight or CNN?
What?
I thought this was groundbreaking news.
Oh, well.
And you just blew it.
I did break it. I did blow it. I probably fucked up really bad, actually. Although, you know, I think they want to make this announcement, and it's like, it's just us. Who cares, really? I mean, ultimately, who cares? I think we'll be all right. But yeah. I hope so, anyway. Anyway.
You got like 4 fans out there creaming their pants because you're on Riotcast.
No.
Yeah, you do. Wood floor's creaming
it. No, it's 7.
Oh, yeah, including 7. Double vasectomy Todd and Jefferson the Shyster on third mic. John, people sometimes wonder how a medical show could thrive on XM202 / Sirius 197. Do you remember doing this now?
No.
We did this. When did the merger happen? Was it 3-4 years ago?
You know, I'm trying to remember exactly when the date.
So I had
was.
To make this 15-minute introduction to Weird Medicine to play for the bosses so they can hear it. So, but I thought we'll listen to it. It may be hilariously stupid, or it may just be boring. If it's boring, we'll just tell the story ourselves. Hang on.
And on the surface, it does seem like a weird fit.
Yeah.
But in the end, no pun intended, it works, as these snippets from our first studio appearance on Opie and Anthony prove.
I got to tell you, like, we have a lot of people that stop by and say hi. And in between commercials during the other side of the show, Anthony and Jimmy ran off to meet Dr. Steve. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, these guys never run off to meet anybody.
No.
But Dr. Steve is in-house, and you guys ran off to say hi to him.
Dr. We love Steve. Dr. Steve is legendary.
Absolutely.
Yes. Who else can I call and ask chlamydia and hepatitis questions to?
Doc, walk us through it. Let us know what you're doing.
Yeah, take your time, please.
First, I'm approaching the area.
Okay.
Well, he sure is.
This is the first time. Okay, let's give a little background. We were sitting there in the studio on the bleachers. This was right at the old XM studio with Opie and Anthony.
Yeah. Now, Opie, when he first commented on that, that's when they were doing the radio show on Terrestrial. So we were at the
Howard Stern's old studio.
Oh wow!
Hung out there for a while.
And when we first walked in, and then we did the walkover with him.
And so then Opie just walked by and he said, "Hey, is that Dr. Steve?" While he's walking by, going to do whatever he was doing, and then he just said, "Hey, we're going to get you on the other side," meaning we'll do. You're not for the CBS show,
right?
You're for the XM show. So John and I just thought that we were going to sit in the bleachers. And at one point, they went to take a break, and Ope says, next, Dr. Steve's going to come in the studio and answer some of your medical questions. And I was like, what? No clue, because they're not real, like, plan-ahead kind of guys.
No, they're not.
I figured we'd sit on the bleachers, and Danny would come out with a mic, and we could plug our show, which we were going to do. And we had a deal to do a single show for SiriusXM. It was part of the Pest Golden Ticket. I think we were the only ones that ever did anything with that. Where Opie had said, you know, if the Pests have an idea for a show, just, you know, send it in and we'll see what we can do. So I immediately sent in the idea for this show. Steve Carlisi emailed me back immediately, said, I love this show, the idea a lot. Let's see what happens. And then Opie greenlit it, you know, a couple of weeks later. So anyway, we had a deal to do a 90-minute show at 10:30 to midnight. And we just figured that we would go in there and sit on the bleachers. And anyway, so he called us in. And the next thing I know, Opie's looking at me going, now, are you one of those doctors that sticks their finger up people's asses? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time. He said, well, can you do it here now? And I was like, well, no, I don't have a license to practice medicine in New York. And they said, oh, that's not a problem. We're just playing around. We're just being silly. And I said, well, I would need gloves, and I figured that surely they don't have gloves. And then Than Brian at the time goes thunk and thunks down this box of latex gloves next to me. I said, well, and really I would have to do it with lube. And then clunk on the other side of me, Than had this pack of lube. It was some strawberry flavored lube from some fucking place. I couldn't get out of it. So anyway, that's what's going on here.
I'm separating the buttocks, the gluteal region. I'm placing my finger on the rectum.
Yeah. Okay. Ha! Head up.
And now we are examining the prostate. Sweeping from left to right. Up and down. Feels normal. And we're done.
Thank God.
That was the great Pat Duffy, by the way.
Oh, God.
Is it all sitting? Yeah, it's all...
I just see his face.
Actually, I got a comment here. He sounds like Adam West.
Adam West?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Batman. The original Batman.
Catwoman.
Wow. He does impressions. He's got a finger in your ass.
He does these impersonations, and if you're not coming from the prostate, you think he was the real people.
You know what? I think for the first time, I'm going to listen to 202 on a Saturday night.
Now, the fact that we're in... That was huge, by the way. You remember when he said that? And for Greg Opie Hughes to say something like that to us at that time was a huge boost. Yeah. Now, that night, we show up to do the first show, and who's standing there but Anthony and his girlfriend, Melinda. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? He's like, oh, I'm just figured I'd hang out and watch you do your show. And again, I'm like, what? Because I'm sitting in his seat. John is sitting in Norton's seat, yeah. Right? And here we are doing a show in their studio in front of him.
Wow.
And what was great about it was after it was over, he walked up to us. We could hear them laughing, and they were, you know, they laughed at all the right places, and they right. went, ooh, and at all the right places. And he came up to us and said, that was the best first show I've ever heard in my life, and that was just fucking huge. And then
yeah, it was.
All hell broke loose in the studio outside, which I won't tell that story. Maybe someday we'll tell that story. Yeah. But we went from being on cloud nine to being in this shit. The shit dumpster within 30 seconds because something was going on out in the outer studio that was uncool. So, but anyway, I'll just tease that for a future show. Uncensored medical show doesn't mean that we talk like shock jocks and drop Oops. Gratuitous F-bombs. I mean, that used to be true.
You know? I was like, well, what show are we doing?
No, that used to be true. When we first started, I used to yell at John for saying fuck on the air.
Really?
And, because it was like, dude, we're uncensored because our clients can call in or our... You know, listeners can call in and ask questions, and we don't have to censor them, but we should remain reasonably professional. Somewhere over the last 5 years, I kind of dropped that.
John wore you down.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I realized he was getting all the yucks.
The way I like to explain it is it means we can answer any question our listeners have without regard to content.
Right.
We found that we don't have to be funny.
Right.
The material is interesting and generally funny on its own.
Right.
Ultimately, our listeners know they can ask us anything, especially things they'd be uncomfortable asking their regular medical providers.
And by the way, we do have a couple of policies on this show, and one is that we try not to ever make anybody sorry that they called us. You know, mm-hmm. So if it we fart around a lot on the show, but we do answer our medical questions at least at some point during the answering of the question. We will give out real medical advice. This is an entertainment show for entertainment purposes only, so take everything we say with a grain of salt. Because, you know, we're answering stuff off the cuff. A lot of times, especially when we're taking live calls and you just never know, we may say something wrong. So, you know, double check everything. But we try to give out good information.
But if you call with 12 Barbie heads shoved up your ass that you have difficulty getting out.
We will make fun of you.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yes, and rightly so.
My stomach just erupts like a fire hydrant in the South Bronx in July.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the deal with the IBS? Can you just explain a little bit about what is actually happening and how to prevent it? I had a mastectomy about a week ago.
Yes.
And besides, the right side seems way more bruised than the left side. Is that normal?
Yes. On my testicles, I have swollen, clogged, sebaceous glands.
Yes. And?
I'm trying to figure out.
Okay.
Can you get rid of them? I had a vasectomy about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and now my wife is thinking that I should go and have it reversed, and I was wondering about how complex is that procedure and how painful, how long is it going to take?
Well, I recently had a vasectomy, and in fact, the stitches aren't quite healed up yet, and I've got... sort of under the right stitches, I've got this little blob. It's almost like a little growing third nut.
By the way, just in case you didn't know, that is double vasectomy Todd. He was one of the first callers we ever had on the show.
I didn't even recognize myself.
Yeah, I did right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I
remember the call, but I didn't recognize my own voice.
Yeah, that was you. Let's run that back because you do sound different. And that's that whole thing with old recordings always make you sound like your voice is higher. I don't know why.
Compression and all that is different.
How complex is that procedure and how painful, how long is it going to take?
Well, I recently had a vasectomy, and in fact, the stitches aren't quite healed up yet. And I've got... sort of under the right stitches, I've got this little blob. It's almost like a little growing third nut.
Hello?
You're on Weird Medicine. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I got a question. My girlfriend's kind of adventurous, and her new thing she wants me to do is she wants me to lick her ass, and I'm kind of wondering what the dangers or what could happen to me or what's the worst case scenario or if it's, it's sanitary at all.
Ass. Sure. Well, it's absolutely not sanitary.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
That was a good line.
I'm sorry. I couldn't wait on that one.
So,
what is the danger?
We heard it.
Thank you.
Hang on a second. Hey, we got a phone call. Area code 207. You're on Weird Medicine.
Hey, Dr. Steve. What is it true that urine will cure athlete's foot?
We got asked that question very first show. And it's interesting that people use urine for a lot of different things. And I saw recently on My Strange Addiction, this woman who bathes in urine and drinks it and all this stuff. And we've heard of boxers and stuff that will drink their own urine because they don't want to lose the vitamins because you piss out B vitamins. Well, guess what? When you do that, you're going to piss them out again. So if you want to take a fucking vitamin, just take a fucking vitamin. Don't drink urine. Well, urine has uric acid in it, which is where it gets its name from. And there are people that will use your uric acid for urea. Scratch everything I just said. We've been drinking all night. So they will use urea on thickened toenails to soften the toenails so that they can be scraped off or burred down, okay? So urea sinks into the skin and kind of hydrates the skin. Do you use it? You're nodding your head, Todd. So do you guys use urea for this?
I don't use it at all in
barbering. He just pisses
barbering,
on people's toenails.
But I like to piss on people's feet. No. No, I'm just sort of familiar with the chemistry because I went through barber school. I know what that would do to tissue. That's
but,
awesome.
So urea, and that's where this myth came from that urine will kill athlete's foot, because actually urine, to my knowledge, unless you've taken an antifungal pill that is excreted in your urine, will not have any antifungal effects. But it will hydrate the skin and make it look healthier, but that's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, don't piss on your feet. Just go buy some Lamisil over the counter and put it on your feet. Now, if it won't go away, after using Lamisil, that's a good reason to go see a doctor. Okay,
all
dude?
Right. Gotcha.
All right, man.
I'm pissing on my foot then.
No, don't piss on your foot. You can. I mean.
Thanks, doctor.
Okay,
it wouldn't
man.
Hurt him, would it?
All right. No, it wouldn't hurt.
Was it just because he was on the phone that we were echoing back?
Did you hear? I heard a little bit. I think he was listening to us at the same time.
All right, because I was hearing us like a couple seconds back.
Did you have something, Ashley?
We have somebody who might be calling from area code 914, but he wanted to know basically, are there any natural / over the counter remedies for toe fungus?
Okay, well, area code 914 is calling right now.
Perfect.
Are you there?
Hey, buddy, how you going on?
Good, man. What's going on? Did she just steal your thunder?
No. Well, there's a little bit more background to me. About a year ago, I had cellulitis on my left foot, and I noticed that where the cellulitis had started on one of my toes, that toenail has fungus kind of growing around that toenail.
Okay.
I was wondering if there are any, like, natural remedies, sort of like something over-the-counter stuff that I didn't have to go to the doctor to get a prescription for that would help with that.
Okay, let me tell you something. And I'm having trouble with your audio. Are you listening to us on Ustream right now?
No, I'm listening on a cell phone. I'm talking to you on the cell phone.
Okay, I know, but were you actually listening to the show on Ustream? Ashley's
yes,
nodding her head. Okay, let me knock you off and let you listen to it on the computer because I'm having trouble with your audio. Okay, dude?
Okay, no problem.
Okay, yeah, we'll answer it, though. All right, I forgot what he was calling about.
Next
question. here's a.
He said he had a cellulitis.
I have to figure out how to ride the levels on Skype. That's
right,
my problem
right.
I'm having. Independently from our levels, I had toenail fungus. I developed it when I was around 45, and my toenails became thickened and brittle. And so I tried every over-the-counter thing that I'd been told because I wanted to try them and see. One thing I tried was Vicks VapoRub. I was told to try that because it would sink through the nail and kill the fungus. I tried oil of oregano. Okay, and I put that on there. Nothing. Didn't work. What else did I try? I tried all kinds of over-the-counter crap, including Lamisil, which does not sink into the nails. It's got to go all the way to the nail bed. That's the problem. When you put something on the nail, the fungus isn't – that's not the fungus that's the problem. It's the fungus right next to the nail bed, and so it would have to sink through that inch of thickened toenail.
Yeah, well, you got to think the toenail only exists to protect the nail bed, basically.
Right, and the infection is actually between the nail bed and the toenail itself. So putting stuff topically probably isn't going to be very effective, at least so far. What I ended up having to do was taking a pill every day called Lamisil. By the way, they make it in a pill form. And ran the risk of destroying my liver and getting fulminant liver failure, okay, to take this medication to kill the toenail fungus. And I also had to have my toenail removed. And now, and this is one of the problems with this, is it takes about a year for your toenail to grow all the way out. And so you really got to do something for a long, long time before you're going to see any effects. And I think that's part of the problem. Maybe some of these over-the-counter things, I did it for 2-3 weeks and then didn't see any effect and then quit. So I can't say for sure. All I can tell you is that there aren't any good studies out there showing that the topical over-the-counter stuff will do anything to kill toenail fungus. Go see a podiatrist. They're the experts at this stuff.
Our friend Dr. Scott, who practices the traditional Chinese medicine, last time he was here, remember he said a drop of white vinegar a day, every day, is what he...
On it, toenails?
That's what he
said. He's full of shit on that one. I'm just saying.
And he can't defend himself.
He's not here.
You are an awful human being.
I love Scott. He's a great guy, but that's bullshit.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Area code 718, you're on Weird Medicine.
this is Bobo. I want to congratulate you on your new podcast.
Oh my God.
Hey.
We got a celebrity calling
Bobo.
In?
Bobo.
No, wow. He's not a celebrity.
No, I hey, love Bobo. Bobo, dude, how
what's
are you?
Bobo?
I'm doing good.
Cool, man. What's going on?
I think I figured I'd call with to congratulate you guys on the new podcast.
Well, we thank you very much. Just keep it to yourself what we're doing, okay? Because I kind of blew it on announcing this thing a little bit ahead of time. But anyway, that's and then I'm telling Bobo to keep a secret.
All right, don't worry, I will.
Okay, man. Anything we can do for you tonight?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, cool, man. Thanks for calling.
All right. You have a good day. Right.
Thanks, Bobo.
Bye. Give our best to Mr. Maloonigans.
Take care. Ashley has such a crush on him.
I totally love Bobo.
Ashley's got a huge crush on Bobo.
He's so sweet.
He's a good little feller. Were you pointing at something?
Well, I thought those were ones that you needed.
Oh, they were. They were all calls that we missed.
Keep calling.
Yeah. Okay,
so I'm going to go back to the introduction to Weird Medicine.
Okay. Under the right stitches, I've got this little blob. It's almost like a little growing third nut.
Oh.
Hello?
You're on Weird Medicine.
Stupid
what can we do for
again.
You?
Yeah, I got a question. My girlfriend's kind of adventurous, and her new thing she wants me to do is she wants me to lick her ass. And I'm kind of wondering what the dangers or what could happen to me or what's the worst case scenario or if it's it's sanitary at all?
Sure. Well, it's absolutely not sanitary, but very little about sex is.
Yeah, I was wondering. I'm only 27 years old, and I have this this like kind of growth on my right testy.
I'm just wondering. My girlfriend's into golden showers.
Okay.
And she's been asking me to urinate inside of her while we're having intercourse.
Okay.
And I'm really hesitant, and I'm just wondering if this is if there's any major concerns as far as you know, some sort of infection, or if it can be done and then douche afterwards, and that'll be fine.
Are you otherwise healthy?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and are you diabetic?
No.
Okay, then here's the thing: urine is sterile.
Very sterile.
It's
should be
normal.
Very sterile.
Normal urine is cell free. It's just basically ultra filtration byproducts of you know, body metabolism, and it's mostly water. It's got some other chemicals in it, and you can I think pee freely.
At Weird Medicine, it's not all listener questions. Dr. Steve and I are comfortable.
I gave John the script.
On Weird Medicine, Dr. Steve and I talk about other stuff, too.
Goes in it, and you can, I think, pee freely.
At Weird Medicine, it's not all listener questions. Dr. Steve and I are comfortable with celebrity interviews as well.
Oh, that sounded so natural.
Oh, God. God, that was horrible. Oh, you know, here's the thing. I couldn't do it any better today either.
Jesus. And no That's mic beautiful. Technique in the studio either, but anyway. Hang on. I got to hear that again.
It's just basically ultra filtration byproducts of you know, body metabolism, and it's mostly water. It's got some other chemicals in it, and you can I think pee freely.
At Weird Medicine, it's not all listener questions. Dr. Steve and I are comfortable with celebrity interviews.
Comfortable.
As well.
Who says comfortable? Comfortable. It's a four syllable word.
Comfortable. When you read it, absolutely.
I gotta play it one more time. So.
Jesus. Medicine, it's not all listener questions. Dr. Steve and I are comfortable with celebrity interviews as well.
When have you ever interviewed a celebrity?
Dr. Victoria Zadrock.
Oh, a bunch of times.
John.
Bobo. Yeah, he has.
So I sat here with him.
Yeah. Okay. No, John. Yeah, John. John almost got Victoria Zadrock to hang up on us in the first 2 minutes of the interview, because she didn't know who the hell we were. I mean, who did? And I introduced her. I said a couple of words in Russian, and then she said some shit back to me that I didn't understand, and that was uncomfortable. And so we're just kind of sitting there for a second, and then John goes, "Hey, you want to have a threesome?" And just dead silence.
She didn't, pin drop.
Yeah, she didn't play into it or not. She was like, "What? Who are these assholes?" So, and I gave John one of those looks, and then we just went on, and we ended up talking to her for 45 minutes, so we got over it. We learned quickly. Yeah,
well,
our first celebrity interview was Earl Douglas. I felt comfortable talking to Earl, so he was the first guest we ever had.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have a guest on the first show, which was Eric Sexman Nagel, and we bumped him. You remember that? And Danny Ross just absolutely loved that. Because on our very first show, our very first show on Sirius, on XM Radio, we bumped Eric Nagel as our first guest. So, whoever that was hung up. Oh, well. So anyway.
The author of Dr. Z on Scoring and How to Pick Up, Seduce, and Hook Up with Hot Women. I've got to say one thing, Dr. Z. You've been a great guest. I did do an IMDb search on you because I do my research on our guests. And I've got to ask you one thing. And you don't sound like someone that's shy or retiring or would be embarrassed by this. You did a translation of a Russian film, but actually this was done since you've been in the United States. It's called Asses of Face Destruction.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought this was some kind of... I thought it was a Russian film, and they just translated it poorly. I'd be interested in the plot of that film.
Oh, God. You know what it was? It was actually...
you know, this fetish video, you know, it's really, it doesn't have a whole lot of a plot, good, but it's
really?
The guys get, they get, I'm kind of playing the KGB agent who catches this guy.
So there really is a plot.
Well, sort of, but the bottom line is their torture is for me to sit on their, to smother them, to trample them, or to spit on their faces till they confess.
You're listening to Weird Medicine. I'm Dr. Steve with PA John. And
hello?
PA Jill is somewhere around here. All right, enough of that. We've heard enough, right?
Yeah.
That's a good introduction to this show.
We got phone calls?
Right? Yeah, we got a phone call. That's basically why I stopped that. Although, you know, I don't want to cut PA Jill's segment short. I can't remember what that was about. Do you remember?
No, we can always listen to it.
All right.
We've got at least 2 hours.
Right? Okay, area code 508, you're on Weird Medicine.
How are we doing tonight?
All right, how are you?
I can't complain.
I'm running out of beer, so we're going to be cutting this show real short, real quick. What can we do for you?
That is a medical condition.
It's an emergency.
My question tonight is, when I wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes my arm is falling asleep, like
yes.
the whole entire arm from shoulder to hand.
Okay.
What causes that?
Well, it can be a couple of things. One thing is you may be just sleeping on it funny, and you can cut off the arterial supply to the arm by lying with your arm over your head. That's one way that can be done, and it seems like that wouldn't do anything, but weirdly, we're not designed to keep our arm over our head for a long time, and the arterial supply to the arm will go, will be cut off enough that the nerves get shut down. Mm-hmm. And then what will sometimes happen with people is when they finally do move the arm, it's completely immobile, and they have to shift their body around, and the brain kind of recognizes that as, wow, this is not right, and it'll wake you up, and you'll have a numb, immobile arm that then when you do move it and the blood comes back, you get that crazy pins and needles effect that with the nerves turning back on again that lasts for a couple of minutes, and then your arm goes back to normal again.
That is exactly what happens. I sleep with my arm over my head.
There you go. That's it. And somehow you've got to train yourself to not do that. There is this weird thing called Saturday night palsy.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it, John?
Well, I believe it's the, I can't remember which nerve it is.
It's either the radial or the ulnar nerve. Which one is it?
It's the radial nerve. It's a radial nerve. And
very good.
So you can, it's been known for people that drink heavily to
they fall asleep
on the arm, and the radial nerve will get compressed down towards the wrist. And then when they wake up and they turn their hand over with the palm facing down, the wrist just drops, and they're unable to wave or lift the wrist. And it can sometimes come back. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it depends on how long you lay on it. So you can kill the nerve that way. But the thing that he's talking about is a temporary thing. And an interesting thing is that you can rob the arm of blood supply for a long, long time, and it will always recover. What's the longest you guys have ever cut off blood supply to an arm to operate on it?
Putting a tourniquet on it?
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it on for about an hour, and sometimes maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah, so
most.
If
you do it for an hour and it's beeping and you're in a critical stage, you'll leave it on, but no more than you try to stop it at around an hour and a half.
Right. So the arm can go without a blood supply for an hour and a half and suffer no damage whatsoever.
Right.
If done properly. So, yeah, that's what's going on, dude. I don't know what to tell you other than you've just got to tell your brain not to sleep that way if you want to do something about it. Otherwise, it probably ain't going to hurt you, but it's always going to wake you up and, you know, your brain will figure it out that this is a problem. I can't continue this. I've got to wake this guy up, and he's got to move his arm.
That's exactly what happens, but I've always slept in the same way, the same bed. Everything's been the same, so it's just died like in the last 6 months. So.
Yeah. Well, dude, you're getting older. What can I tell you?
Jesus. I hate that.
I know. I do, too. Time is a bitch.
I'll just start drinking more, I guess.
Okay, man. I'm not recommending that, but I'm not saying it's a bad idea. All right. We'll see you later.
Wrist will fall asleep.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for calling, man.
Have a good one.
Okay, you too. What you got to ask?
We have a question from Poop Helmet.
Poop Helmet,
and
excellent.
He would like to know, he or she would like to know what causes night sweats.
It could be a she.
Yeah, we don't know.
But it's not.
We hope not.
Yeah, night sweats is what I'm going to tell Poop Helmet to do is to email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, and I will send him or her some information on night sweats. The reason is that it can be caused by things that you don't have to worry about, but every once in a while it can be caused by stuff you have to worry about. And that's a minority of the cases, but there is a specific workup for night sweats that doctors will do. And I would, if it's something that started recently and is not a normal finding for Poop Helmet, I would recommend that Poop Helmet, I just can't stop saying that name.
That's hilarious, because when you first said it, it's like, that's not normal for Poop Helmet.
Needs to see his or her doctor and say, look, I'm having night sweats. Okay, but if he or she will email me, I'll send him or her some information.
Imagine it's a really hot chick.
Wait, I'm hoping it is. That's why I keep.
Hi, I'm Poop Helmet.
What would be some of the what would be some of the non life threatening issues?
Well, some people with hormonal changes can have night sweats.
Oh yeah.
So you know, a woman going through menopause, if Poop Helmet happens to be a woman over 51. No, we don't want to know. It's more fun to not know.
Okay.
She could have night sweats. I know it's not. Of course it's not. It's a guy that's trying to say that he practices anal intercourse. That's why he's called Poop Helmet. But we get that. So it was, but anyway. So I don't know, dude. You know, I don't want to alarm Poop Helmet. It's probably not anything serious, but I want him to email me and I'll send him some information.
You're sleeping with too heavy a cover.
Well,
and so they're waking up in the middle of the night, sweating.
Are you by chance married and your wife keeps cranking the electric blanket way up too high?
Oh, do you do that?
Yeah.
Dude, she turns it all the way up and then she sleeps and sweats and then
not
in her sleep,
don't
she throws it
like
all over on top
pig,
of me.
Asshole.
She throws the electric blanket that's now full blast on top of me so that she can cool off.
Oh, okay.
So now I wake up.
You have two layers of.
Yeah, of electric blanket. Even though my side's not turned on,
like
we have one of those double things. But dude, it's
Electric blankets feel great when you first turn them on, and then when you wake up soaked in sweat, they
I've never
suck.
Had. You don't want one. You don't want one.
Yeah,
but I do have to be warm to fall asleep. I cannot sleep if it's cool.
Good old Poop Helmet.
He's 47 and a dude.
Nice.
No, it's a 21-year-old chick, and I won't.
Yeah,
to
just email me. I'll send you some information. Every once in a while, we'll get one of those questions that I just need. It's better if we have a dialogue, and I'll email Poop Helmet back. So, all right, what else? What do we want to do? I had something else that I wanted to do here.
I mean, I have another question here if you'd like to answer it.
Okay.
It's just Carla Finch is wondering if there's an update on PA John and PA Jill.
Oh, whether they've – I don't know if John wants to answer
that. What's the update?
Well, you said
what's the question?
That you were waiting for marriage to have intercourse, that you were waiting until her cancer surgery had completely healed up, because the last time you had intercourse, her bowels fell out of her vagina, and she told the story on the show, so I'm not talking out of school. And it was – we got more email about that than anything else. Most of it very good-natured – saying, I hope Jill is okay.
They want to know if his dick healed.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Just came in.
Absolutely. And it's feeling just fine.
And you've masturbated. This is the podcast audience, so they're different from the SiriusXM audience. You probably ought to give just a very Reader's Digest background on what the hell you're talking about.
Give us the short version on your penis.
See, that makes it worse. That makes it so much worse.
God.
I know it does. That's why I do it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Do it. Get it.
Yep.
Okay.
You do the Opie Hughes humor cascade, which is do something, and
so
then
bad.
It's not funny, and then do it again, and then keep doing it until it becomes funny. And then keep doing it till it's not funny, and then keep doing it until it becomes funny again. And then you've completed the Opie comedy cascade. I mean, he's talked about that. It's a great technique.
Right.
And you do it to, you know, very, you, you've
just,
been a good
I
student.
I suck at it. Anyway, I had
a circumcision.
I had a area where I had my circumcision that the skin folded over and connected. And so there was a little tunnel there. And every once in a while, skin cells that would slough off would...
Slough. I like that word. Yeah. Slough.
They would fall off, and but they wouldn't go anywhere. They just get connected all together underneath there, and then it would kind of pooch out like a little white, hard piece of skin zit kind of
thing.
Like
a toenail.
Yeah, eventually it ended up becoming that, and that's
what I said.
You
were clipping toenails off your penis.
Did you ever bite them off like a fingernail?
He can't get down that far, Dave. Don't worry about
it. But I can bring it up. So anyhow, I ended up going because Steve talked about it. Having that and said it's an increased risk of penis cancer, and so I wanted to get that taken care of. So I did. I went and got it taken care of. So they did a
and this
revision.
All came up because of this show,
right?
Because someone called in with that problem, and I felt like a genius because it had happened to me. I'd had this circumcision revision myself, and I felt I was like, oh, I'm going to show those assholes. I know the answer to this, and I said, John, do you know what it is? And he went, yeah, it's probably a bad circumcision. I was like, shit. I couldn't believe he knew that. Oh, yeah. Well, I did. I thought you were smart, and then I realized you just had a screwed up dick like me. So. Some pediatrician who didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. But so, anyway, I had it, the little tunnel cut up, and had a couple stitches placed because of some bleeders. And but since then, I've had the sutures removed, the scab has come off and new fresh skin is there. No tunnel, no toenails growing out of the penis.
Beautifully
and
smooth and glistening.
Grab it and yank on it as hard or as soft as I want.
Nice.
And it's working just fine.
That is a heartwarming tale.
Can we lower the lights in here a little bit?
I really need some sexy music for these.
Yeah, you
really
moments. Do. It's like Barry White.
Yeah,
man,
I'll find something.
It's the best penis I've ever had.
And Carla, next time call in.
There might be a phone call from 507.
Yeah,
and
there
Carla
it is. 507 area code. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve. This is Ryan in Minnesota.
Or on the internet. Not really on the air.
Oh, God. It's Ryan.
Do you know Ryan?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Hey, Greg.
What's up,
Ryan? I got a poop question.
Oh, excellent.
I decided to go on a diet. And prior to my diet, I weighed about 240. And my diet consisted of all red meat, beef, potatoes, chicken wings, lots of beer, stuff like that, and it was very rare where I had a solid shit. Now, I have lost about 35 pounds, and I am eating all salad, lettuce, stuff like that, and I shit little loaves of bread every time.
Yeah.
I have high fiber, and usually people say that makes you shit a lot.
Yep.
But I'm not kidding, a lot, it's just huge.
Are you doing high fiber but low carbohydrates?
Yes.
That's the issue right there. And I've never understood this, but it's very common complaint of people on a low carbohydrate diet that one of the main side effects is constipation. And you're exactly right. You would think if you're eating all these green leafy vegetables that you'd be shitting, four times a day. But it turns out that the body is the bowel, for some reason, works off of grains and carbohydrates, and that people who shit six times a day, like certain tribesmen in other continents, they eat a diet high in unprocessed grains, like they'll eat wheat kernels whole. Mm-hmm. And these guys will shit six times a day. They never have colon cancer. But, it's the there's something about the grain and the carbohydrates that stimulates the bowel to transit stuff through. And honestly, I'm just going to have to research this more because we've talked about on this show that it is an effect. I just don't have an answer for why because I can't figure it out either.
Is it sort of like the fiber needs more water content so you're not consuming enough water?
that it's not absorbing into the bowels to evacuate?
I do make a point to drink a ton of water. I must drink 2 gallons a day. I drink a lot of water.
Yeah. Now, what you are eating in green leafy vegetables is a lot of what's called insoluble fiber, which is fiber that is not dissolvable in water, and so it doesn't attract water as much. That may I'm just wondering if that's a germ of an idea that may explain this, but very common. Atkins diet people or paleo diet people get constipated like crazy, and when you were eating a lot of meat and stuff before, I guarantee you were eating a lot more pasta and bread and stuff, and that's when you were shitting your guts out. So, I'll remind me if I don't answer this question in the next few weeks. I'm going to do some research on this and try to figure out why this happens, because it's been something that's been driving me crazy ever since I did low carb lifestyle, which was 15 years ago. You know, so
yeah, well, it's not to the point where it's like a real big deal, but you know, I was practically a virgin the way I was before with my ass, because
right.
It's just liquid coming out all the time. So now just a regular size shit for anybody else feels like I've given birth.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. And it is a known effect. I don't have an answer for why it is an effect. And the thing is that is our diet that we were designed to eat, though. When we were living in caves or living in Tennessee and without any cities and without fast food around, what did we eat? You would eat lean animal protein. You know, you shoot a deer or something, they're all starving too. And so they didn't have a lot of fat on them. And green leafy vegetables. And the only time you would have carbohydrates is when berries and grasses were in season. You were eating the seeds off the grasses and stuff. So, you know, we really were designed to not eat a real high carbohydrate diet. And why that causes problems for us, I don't know. It's an interesting question,
all right, thank
dude.
You, man.
And all I can do is verify that you're absolutely right. That is what's happening to you, and I'll try to figure out why in the next few weeks.
And don't let Ryan bullshit you. He's no anal virgin.
You faggot.
Oh, Greg. All right. Well, let's why don't we check that thing and see if anytime I start mumbling around like that, it means I'm playing with the equipment, trying to figure out how to make it work. Let me play a little bit more of this. And we have with us during this segment Mark Riojas, who's a comic from San Antonio. Well, this was our first comedy third mic.
That's right.
Or fourth mic, I guess.
Yeah.
And never had another one after that.
Hello, G-back. Hello, everybody.
And he's a consumer of healthcare, or wishes that he could be.
I don't believe in paying for healthcare. That's basically
okay. Yeah,
it, so.
Dude. And
who is this?
Mark Riojas. He's a comic. John ran into him at some club.
I was in San Antonio.
Hey, we're doing a radio show. You want to be on it?
And he's like, oh yeah, I go to New York all the time. I said, well, why don't you come up? He was a great stand-up.
Yeah.
At this comedy club.
He was a great guest.
He was the best guy there that night, and he was actually probably one of the funniest comedians I'd heard
really?
In a long time.
He sounds so low energy.
Well,
yeah, he was just being cool.
Yeah, he doesn't do radio.
Oh, all right. So, yeah, I figured
he was great. I really enjoyed having him on there, and the fact we've always tried to do something different, at least in the beginning we did. We kind of given that up in the last few years, but we always try to do something different for every show that we did. So that one, we had this comedian come in and kind of try to interact with
right.
and not sound like shitheads, and we did okay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still not professional broadcasters. We've been doing this 5 years, but when you do one show a week, you're not going to become more professional. You got to do 4 hours a day for 18 years, and then you might get somewhere in the area of an Opie and Anthony. But you know, even most broadcasters never get close to the quality of show they do.
True.
So for us to be doing a show once a week and to fool ourselves into thinking we're professional broadcasters, so we're not, but we are. Todd is a master barber. GVAC is whatever he is. John is a physician's assistant and a specialist in orthopedics, and I do family practice and have been for 25 years and also do hospice and palliative care. So between us all, we have some expertise, and we try to sound reasonably intelligent. Most of the time we fail at that, but anyway. All right. Let me see if I've got anything else here.
Hey, just want to tell you guys a story. When I was in college, I was on the wrestling team.
Did we play this on this show?
And sorry, it sounds weird. We're in the shower after practice. Look over, one dude's playing himself and say, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah, we did.
He says, "I'm 100%
on this show?
Straight, but I want to see if I can get a boner in a room full of guys." He sat there and jerked off. Next thing you know, about 6 or 7 other guys jerking off. And
okay, then I got to start over because we're talking
like
over this.
88% boner. It's pretty weird. That's about it.
Anyway, well, that was a cluster F.
What were you saying about us not being professional?
Look over one dude plans himself and say, "What the hell are you doing?" He says, "I'm 100% straight, but I want to see if I can get a boner in a room full of guys." We sat there and jerked off. Next thing you know, about 6 or 7 other guys jerking off, and one of them was crowned champion. It's like an 88% boner. It's pretty weird. That's about it. So, fuck, man, that's gross.
So that was a circle jerk story.
"I'm not gay or anything" is like the same thing as saying, "No offense, but..."
Right,
let
right,
me tell
right.
You.
Yeah.
Right.
"I'm 100% straight, but I measured this guy's boner to 88%.
Right.
He didn't say 90. He said 88.
I didn't realize it was just... He wasn't the only one that did it.
Yeah, I didn't get the 88%.
Well, yeah, the first time we listened to that, which was on the Sirius XM show...
We thought just one dude got a boner and that was it. I didn't realize that 6 or 7 other guys did it, and then they were starting jerking off, and one guy ended up winning. Yeah. It was a circle jerk.
Yep.
In the shower.
I'm not gay or anything, but there was this glory hole.
Right, and I gave it a little toot just to try it.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Okay. It doesn't make you a bad person.
You
do whatever you want to do. We're fine with it.
Exactly.
Just don't lie about it. Yep. Own it and be okay with it.
I'm with you there, brother.
All right, man. Thanks always go to PA John, GVAC, Addictomy Todd, and Ashley. We can't forget Eric Nagel, Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, whose steadfast support of this show never goes unappreciated. Hope you'll join us for this journey on Riotcast Radio. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at weirdmedicine.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. And thanks to Rob Sprance and Bob Kelly for their support of the show, too. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next next edition of Weird Medicine
Podcast.
Peace.
A distant ship, smoke on the horizon. You are. Your lips move, but I can't tell what you're saying. When I was a child, I caught a fleeting glimpse out of the corner of my eye. I turned to look, but it was gone. I cannot. Comfortably numb.